Good morning. Well, I don't know how your week was last week, but our week was a lot of fun. We got back from the Philippines yesterday morning, and it was certainly an edifying and uplifting week. And I want to just begin by saying thank you for all the prayers, and thank you to all who assisted us in this journey. And I'll talk more about how we shared funds and shared gifts with our brethren in the Philippines. I also want to share this from the outset. They wanted me to tell you thank you. They wanted you to know that it's a thrill to know that there are brethren on the other side of the world, and literally it is the other side of the world, that have them in thought and in prayer and are willing to send us over there to spend some time with them. And so they are very, very, very appreciative of the Valrico Church of Christ. And often when I was sharing my lessons, I put up our slide, our theme for the year, so that they would see the Valrico brethren in the presentation. But when you talk about the Philippines, and specifically where we were, it's 9,300 miles away. It was a little over 40 hours of travel, and it just means a lot of sitting. And I've officially passed over to the old man time in my life, because now I know what swelling in your legs feels like. Yes, I wear compression socks and did it proudly, but it's just a lot of sitting. But it was certainly worth it. Now, where we were is up in the northern area of Luzon. So when you look at the Philippines, this country is made up of 7,400 islands. We're on what is one of the largest islands, Luzon, where the capital is Manila, which is down to the south of this large island. And where we were was up at the northwest corner. So what you might say is the closest to Taiwan or China. And we were mainly in these two regions, Ilocos Norte and Ilocos Sur. We would refer to it more like counties in our terminology. But it's really a span that is just about 100 kilometers, which doesn't sound that far until you're driving in Filipino traffic. Imagine a community, if you will, that is a lot like a video game, but there's no signals, traffic signals. There's no traffic signs. And yet there's thousands of people all driving up and down the roads. Now, here's what's amazing about it. They all live out of respect for each other. If you have the bigger vehicle, you have the right of way. That's the way it works. But imagine coming to a four-way stop with no stop signs, and everybody just kind of keeps pulling out and makes their way and does their, and you have these little honks of the horn. They don't honk like we honk. We have angry honks, right? You made me mad. Let me know it again. There's a little beep beep, and it's a little beep had a different meaning. It could be, hey, behind you, beep, or beep beep, thanks, you know. So overall, it's a very courteous and friendly culture. So much so, this is a video of our arrival when we got to the airport. And when we pulled up, we knew this was going to be the case. And so we let the students know, be prepared for an arrival that was much like landing at the airport back in the 1970s. When everybody actually came to see you. And I appreciate the guys in the back trying to pull this up. It was having trouble playing earlier. Let's see if it'll play now. And I got the 1 second call. All right, well, imagine if you will, all those little figures are hugging one another, all excited. We had about 30 people. You can go ahead and advance it. Let's just move on. We had about 30 people show up at the airport, and they were pretty much part of our gathering throughout the week, because once we left the airport, you just go ahead and go on to the next slide, fellas. Once we left to the airport, we went straight to work. We had a two-hour drive from LAWG, the airport, and a two-hour drive. So just go ahead and advance it. I appreciate it, fellas. We had a two-hour drive down to Vegan City. And down in Vegan City, we stayed in the home of Rolando and Ludi Azarin. Now, they've been a part of the church there for well over 40 years. And what they did is they actually took their home and they turned it into really a hospitality center for all the brethren. So we've been on the plane now 40 plus hours. We immediately get off. We have this great welcome. And they said, all right, we're going to a Bible study. And so we drove down to Vegan and we went into action. Now, what's great is the 9 students that were going with us, they all knew how this was going to play out. Every time we got on a scene at a location, we didn't know what we were going to find when we got there. We didn't know how many kids there would be, how many adults, how many preachers or whatnot. You didn't know exactly. So we had about 4 plays we could run. And we called the audible at the line, Omaha, Omaha. And everybody knew where to go. All right. And so we didn't know how many were going to be there, but it was a huge crowd. There were close to 50 that were there. So we had some singing time together. We were teaching them 4-part harmony, which was new for them. Magnificat, the greatest command. We sang some of songs. And then everybody went to their classes. So I grabbed all the adults and went one location. This is usually how it played out. Phil, get the preachers and get out of here. All right. And so the teens went and had their studies, the girls with the girls and the guys with the guys. And that was our first evening. The next day, though, Sunday, we did something we've never done before. We split up. All right. Now, as the person leading this trip, this was a nervous day for me. As you can see, I had all the kids and I was tracking them. All right. So part of the group was going to stay in Vegan. The other half of the group would head up the road about an hour and a half away to Cabugal. Now, the group that went to Cabugal was going to go 2 places, and it was actually the tale of 2 churches. Cabugal had a very nice new building. The preacher who was there, Egdon Zabio, and Ozabio and his wife Faith have been there many years. He is actually an engineer, sits on many boards, and he is one who's provided a lot to that congregation. After they left Cabugal, then they went to Banya. And this was going, if you will, out in the country of country. And so I want you to notice the way they have church set up there, would you please? That, if you will, is the balcony area sitting on the outside because it would be packed soon. Imagine a small community with a lot of humble homes around it where everybody comes to one well to get their water. But they gather with simplicity and love in their hearts, and they would pack this congregation. We were actually excited to hear part of our group was going to go there because we actually got to go there the first time we went over. And it was just as special as the first for the students who went up there and would lead the worship and the Bible studies up there. The second half of the group, and this is the group that Cheryl and I stayed with, we stayed down in Vegan City with Rolando and Ludi and worshiped where they've been working for many, many years. That's Rolando down there on the bottom right, and that's his son Jeff on the left. Jeff and his wife Evelyn also work with this congregation. And it's loaded with children. We saw this wherever we went. Tons of children and many, many women, and I'll explain why it's only the women to a large degree in many congregations in just a moment. But this is how people get back and forth to church. How would you like to ride a tricycle is what it's called. It's a trike. And so it's kind of like the Philippines version of a cab. Constant air conditioning when you're moving. But outside the church, that's where everybody would line up and they would catch a ride because most people don't have vehicles. And so that's how you got about. Now, this one, if this video plays, that would be great. In the afternoon, Malingib is the name of this community. You had to walk to it through houses. And I want you to just kind of follow the screen around and look at this community. Around all the homes, picture in your mind many, many rice paddies. So rice fields. This is an agricultural focused community. And these are the homes. And in the middle of all these small homes, they've built a small church building. It's just a small village, if you will. As the video continues, you can see there's the pump that draws everybody together where you go every morning and every afternoon to get water. And as the video continues to pan around, you're going to see the house of a woman by the name of Edna. And Edna and her sister-in-law, Patricia, actually live there now. Now, this community is quite unique. Jeff and his wife, Evelyn, actually started this church at that house that you just saw in 2008. But now they have their own building. The building is open air, and it is packed, mainly with women and children. Where's the dad? Well, one of the challenges they have in many of the Philippine churches is that it's hard to get the men not to work on Sunday. And the reason it's so hard is every day is a fight for survival. The minimum wage, generally for a worker who works all day in the Philippines, is going to be about 600 pesos, which, if you want to give it in American terms, that's about $8.50 a day. And so it's hard to convince men not to go to work when every $8 has great significance in your daily life. Now, I share that with you because you might say, well, that's a challenge we have in the States too. It is. But for most of us working today, it's not like we literally had to go to work for survival. Does that make sense? We go for overtime. We go for extra pay. We go for extra benefits for the most part. And so you can understand the challenge there. But nonetheless, there's so many children, especially at this congregation. There's Edna and Patricia that you can see on the right. They're actually sisters-in-laws. Their husbands were brothers. Both brothers have passed away since. But it was Edna's family that helped donate that land from an inheritance that was given to them so that they could put the building there. And it is filled with so much love, so much joy. I got to confess, it's hard for me when I walk into communities like that. It's hard. And there's a part of me that wants to just feel sorry for people. Because I know this, the only reason I'm here and they're there is God said, Phil, you're going to be born in the United States. But then when you experience the joy, the happiness, the love for the Lord, those feelings kind of go out the window. We were blessed that day that there was a man that they had been studying with for quite a while that wanted to be baptized, but there's no baptistry in the back of the building. But since you're in a rice paddy, there is water. So you began to walk out in the rice paddy. We probably walked out there about half a mile till we got to a canal where everybody gathered above the canal and watched the baptism of a fellow by the name of Eddie, who was baptized in this canal in the middle of the rice paddy. By the way, the canal is also the local swimming pool, all right? We had to ask some little guys that were enjoying the sights and sounds to give us just a moment because they were diving and jumping in the water, so it was quite exciting. But at the same time, it was also quite, if you will, awe-inspiring when this is the scenery around. If you didn't know any better, you would think you were in Hawaii if you only saw the mountains and the landscape. But then you see the homes and you go, this is not a resort area. This is where people live. So most of my pictures today are going to be where the true value is, and that's with the people in the homes and not just the beautiful surroundings all about. On Monday, we actually were invited to go back to a school, and the headmaster there by the name of Katrina. She's invited us back. This is the second year we've been back to the Right Way Review Center. And Katrina Aguila asked us to present some lessons and a seminar on mental health and the challenges that come with mental health and trying to keep our minds right. And so the students were great at sharing thoughts and ideas, and I just kind of led it as an MC. And we talked about screens and the challenges there, and we talked about dealing with loss, and we talked about, to a large degree, how we can turn to God's Word in God's Word, because Katrina makes it very clear to everybody that comes there, this is God's work with her school. Her school is actually more than just a school. It's actually a place where Filipino students can come and they can get what they need to get a visa to actually go to college overseas. Because in many of the churches, the preachers have children overseas who are working, and then they send money back to support their parents' ministry. Ronald and Ludi actually have four kids. Jeff is a preacher there and vegan with them. But the other three kids live in Canada, the States, and Australia, and they send money back to support their parents. And so what we're doing at the school is we're actually just being ambassadors also for Florida College. Actually took some of the material from the admissions office to see if maybe we could help students even come here. But that was a fun day. And we also, Cheryl and I, got to spend some time with a family that's become very close to us. And this is Matt and Ronna Lynn. Sibion and their children Ruby and John, and they actually serve 9 churches in the Philippines. It's very common for a preacher over there to go to many congregations during the day. And for Matt, whose father also was a preacher, they do a lot of driving and a lot of traveling to go and work in churches from Baguput up in the north, out in the jungle areas, as well as in Lawag and Sunite down in the south. Now, speaking of Lawag, this is one of our favorite churches to go to because we've spent a lot of time there. And so I did a preacher study there, and then we did like we normally did. We had the teen studies for the young adults to lead, and then we had worship together later in classes for the adult class. By the way, that's Abigail. If you remember a year ago, I talked about she had cancer. She is doing very well today, so it's always exciting to go back and see her. And it was an opportunity for the students, as I said, to get involved too. The students that we try to take with us are students who know their Bibles, can lead class. They're very interactive with the brethren, and they're good about following up with the brethren that they meet while we are there. And this was just a packed house. Just imagine the singing here when we have our singings. Multiply that by 3, and that's how it sounds in those rooms with everybody singing. And what's really fun is when you're singing in the Filipino language and you don't know a word of what they're saying, but you know the tune. And anybody here remember the old Sacred Selections? Yes. So your childhood is now working for you when you're older because you sing many of those songs. And one of the favorite songs that we love to sing, and Ferdinand, one of the preachers over there, loves to lead, is If We Never Meet Again This Side of Heaven. It's always fun to sing with them. The next day we went up to Paguput, and this is Abraham. He's 77. He's not 17. Life over there is rough. It is challenging. You know, so not quite that challenging. But this is where Abraham, he and his wife, and Alita, have worked for over 57 years. And I'm going to take you inside their home. So there's Abraham. There's Annalita, and in the back is their daughter, Emma Rose, who has become a dear friend of ours. And this is inside their home. Welcome to the living room. Anybody notice anything? Open air, tin roof. If you have blocks, concrete blocks, that's middle class. It's middle class there. What they did on the other side of their home is they've they've added on to their home so that they have a church building there as well. We referred to these churches as the coconut churches because they have coconut trees all around, and they gave us fresh coconut to drink from. And there's the room that they added to their house so that a church of about 40 can meet there in their home. Now, if I was to show you around their house, again, you're in the middle of a rice paddy. Just a big old rice paddy. And then this is a little community that you have to cross over a creek to get to. And there's a suspension bridge from when the creek overflows, so you can park up on the road, walk across the bridge to get to their house. And if you want to eat dinner, just bear in mind the head's still on the fish when you get there. And the fish is winking at you. But this was a potluck in their home, and they were so excited to have brethren there to hang out with them that they know loved and cared for them and were willing to give them a little time and attention. One of the things that I was asking Matt and Ronald Ann about is like, does this really make a difference? I know that we're coming over here, and he's like, you have no idea, because they never have visitors. We were talking to Emma Rose once a year. When y'all come, we have people who come to show that they care about us, and it just means the world to them. I got one more place I want to show you. It was something we weren't expecting. But before we go to Bodock City, I want you to keep this verse in mind. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. If you've ever done a deep dive into the temple was a magnificent structure. In the days of Solomon, it was said to be like no other when it came to the architecture, decor of that building. I've read in some accounts that there was so much gold in the temple that in today's economy and with today's monetary value, just the gold itself would have been in the billions and billions of dollars in the temple. God's dwelling place, magnificent and beautiful. But we know when we get to the New Testament, the true temple is not something with gold and elaborate decor. It's in the lives of people who have been changed by the Lord, if you will, patterned, engraved with his image in them, that are the true temple. I say that to you because when we went to Bodock City, we went to what we were not expecting. Again, it was not easy to get to just the building itself, because it's actually a home up a dirt road around winding community, again in a community with a lot of houses. And when we got there, we noticed again that this church was also open air, but open air more than you could imagine, because it's actually the home of Raymond and Mary Ann. In fact, Raymond was sending me a note this morning. He prefers Ronald, so I will refer to him as Ronald. The Raymond just kind of stuck because that's what we were referring to that day. But he and his wife, Mary Ann Ledesma, live here. He is a jack of all trades. You'll notice that there's cars and a lot of machinery there. He loves to just tinker and work on everything to help support himself in his ministry. He's also got a food business, and I'll give you a look inside his kitchen here in just a moment. He kind of sets up a stand out on the road, and he'll sell food. But they want the church to meet there, so they added on to their home bamboo trusses with palm fronds and a blue tarp. And that day there were close to 45 people who came in the middle of the day because they heard we were coming so that we could worship together. And it was moving. What you don't see are all the chickens and the goats that were worshiping with you. All right. But this was their home. I couldn't help but think a little bit of Aquila and Priscilla in their home. I couldn't also help but think of the temple and this home. Because this home is also very humble. There's your kitchen, where they prepared food for all of us that day. This is their living room. And this is where they live with their two children and serve the Lord truly with gladness and simplicity of heart. But again, I share these pictures with you not so that you would feel sorry for them, but maybe a little bit feel sorry for us. Because there was so much joy in the Lord. That day I had called the audible, and the play was for the two guys to speak that day. But one of the preachers said, "Phil, we'd love for you to share a few words as well before we leave." And it's one of those moments where you're kind of caught off guard for a moment. What am I going to say? And this is what came to my mind. What's a treasure to you? What is valuable to you? And I was reminded of a passage in the book of Deuteronomy where God talks about what's valuable to him. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and in verse 6. Logan read this for us just a few moments ago. And I want you to listen to the way the Lord describes his people. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. You are a people who have been separated for service to God. You are a people who belong to God himself. You are holy to the Lord. And the Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people." Well, we know in the context of this verse, he's speaking specifically to Israel. Israel was chosen to be the people of God. And he is their treasured possession. And he did not set his affection on them or choose them because they were more numerous than all the other peoples, for they were actually the fewest of all the peoples. They were not a mighty nation. And if you might remember, it was from a barren womb, the barren womb of Sarah, that the nation began to begin with. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, of the king Pharaoh. The reason this crossed my mind is, as I looked around, I looked at a home in a place that, in the eyes of the world, was not very rich. But I couldn't help but think of the way God looked at it. And I couldn't help but think of the way they looked at themselves. That place was a treasure. The people there are a treasure. And to them, Jesus is a treasure. What else do you need when you have a treasure like that? But more importantly, this is what I shared with them. When God created this whole world and came up with this wonderful plan of redemption, where it all seems to be focused on us, what does God get out of it? What does he get? Well, God tells us right here, he gets us. He gets us. That we are his treasure. To those that will trust in him, honor him, obey him, regardless of the circumstances, they belong to him. There's just something about getting a hug from people who live in a land that is much different than your own, who live in a way that is much different than yours, who live in circumstances much different than yours, but have a love for the Lord the same as yours. And so it would be when we gathered at the airport, our friends gathered with us to say goodbye, and we knew they would be there, and it was a joy. A couple of thoughts in closing. We did share some financial support with many of the brethren there. We helped with some challenges that came from a typhoon that had hit the area earlier in the year and some special needs with respect to Bibles. Many of the brethren there find it challenging just to afford Bibles and to have enough Bibles in some of those churches. So where Jeff preaches, as well as where there another fellow by the name of Alec preaches, and he and his wife Lisa work with that congregation, we bought them some Bibles. We're also going to be looking at helping them get benches and chairs for their congregations. And then also we're going to try to do what we can to help some of these preachers, because often, as is the case in some of those rural areas, it's the preacher who's using his financial support to keep up the building, the electricity, and everything else. And so we're going to help with that as much as we can as well. And then where Jeff is, the church that had all the kids in that village, we want to help them get some supplies that they need so that they can put on VBS and more children's classes, because that is definitely an attraction in the area. It was so fun to be there because there were more kids than adults, and I'm like, are all these the kids of the brethren? And he's like, no, these are just kids that come from the community. And they were like crawling in the windows and coming from everywhere to come in there. I said, well, man, we got to reach out to that group. And he said, well, we need VBS supplies. And I'm like, I'm on it. We'll do what we can to help you with that. But again, on behalf of the brethren there, to all of you, thank you. And God bless you for having a heart for them. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Lord, we're mindful today as we see the lives of those who live on the other side of the world, how blessed we are. And dear Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we find in our brethren who live in challenging places. We thank you that you share with us their zeal and their love for you and their peace and the joy that they feel in their hearts. Help us to learn from them. And help us, dear Lord, to become people who can find peace without things and without trusting in so many things and possessions. And help us, dear Lord, to be an aid to them. So, dear Lord, today we lift up those that are serving in the Philippines, that you'll be with Rolando and Ludi and Jeff and Evelyn and Matt and Ronna Lynn, Alex and Lisa, Egden and Faith, that you'll be with Abraham and Analia, and that you will fill these hearts of these brethren with all your love and with all the goodness that comes from your hand. And you'll especially, dear Lord, be with Ronald and Mary Ann, and bless them and the church that meets in their home. We thank you for them, dear Lord, and we pray that you'll help us to be assets to them as we all work together in your kingdom. And so, dear Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you for our brethren, especially our brethren in distant lands. And we thank you, dear Lord, for how they inspire us to serve you with more diligence. And so help all of us to dig a little deeper, work a little harder, give a little greater because of the King that we're serving. And our King is you. And we thank you. And we ask all this in the name of our King, King Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for indulging me with that and for sharing with me in that journey. And so I want to begin now with just sharing a couple of thoughts before we sing an invitation song. Why were you born here and not there? Why are you here and not over there? Well, I believe the Lord puts us where He needs us. He puts us where He wants us. And I believe wholeheartedly in the providential care and purpose of our Lord. And if you look in Romans chapter 12, we find that all of us have different abilities and different responsibilities. Some are goers and some are senders. Some are teachers and some are contributors. But all of us, wherever we are, have great purpose in the kingdom. The Lord didn't just save us so that we could go to heaven one day when we die. Yes, that is certainly one of the wonderful, many blessings that come with salvation in Jesus. He saved us to transform us, to free us from slavery, and to recreate us to be like Him. And so I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to think more about our purpose and our role in the kingdom. And not to underestimate where He has put you and why He has put you where He has. Because our Lord finds the greatest treasure in the earthen vessel, not the vessel of gold or silver, but in the vessel of a heart that is willing to be used and used up by Him. So I challenge us to think about our purpose. And as a means of invitation, if you're looking for purpose in life, there's no greater purpose than serving in the kingdom of Jesus. And that kingdom is for those who proclaim Him as King. And if that's something that you need to do today, maybe you've been thinking about it, we want to give you that opportunity. The good news is we won't have to go to a canal out in a rice paddy. We have one of those swanky water systems right behind. But maybe sometimes the canal is a good place to go because it reminds you of the simplicity and the power. And that comes from the Word of God. And if you've been touched by His Word this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.